The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And today we've just been talking a little bit about sports. And I know people like, everything that's going on in the world, why sports? You tell me why sports. People love it. People are addicted to it. They can't get enough. I mean, I didn't make the rules. I'm just here to play the game, right? The rules are that there are certain things we love in American culture. There are certain things that we love worldwide. Sports is one of them. Bread and circuses. I get it. And the Romans definitely lost. The Roman Empire fell with people at the Colosseum shooting T-shirt guns. I get it, right? They didn't have T-shirt guns, but, you know, little mini T-shirt catapults or whatever they were doing. They were distracted is the point. And you could definitely make a corollary to today. No doubt. I just made it last week. I said the Romans, a huge part of why the Roman Empire fell is because they were too busy with affluent prosperity-driven activities like the Colosseum. But there were many others as well. Let's not throw it all on the gladiators, okay? There was a loss of sacred honor in the Roman Senate, in the Roman culture. There was a loss of importance and priority of what it meant to be Roman, and that citizenship, Roman citizenship, actually meant something. And if you leave a border open to unlimited sort of multiculturalism and displacement, you can lose your culture, no matter how great your society is. And the Roman society was a great society, which is why some of it still stands strong today. But every society faces a stress test, and the Romans failed theirs. Should they spent a few less days at the Colosseum? Sure. But you could also say they should have spent a few less days, with some of these military campaigns out there defending the outposts in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. You could make that argument as well. In fact, there's a strong argument to be made. In fact, there's a direct corollary to be made today. Not only are we improperly distracted by bread and circuses, sports being one of them, but, you know, now they're smacking each other, grown men smacking each other. That is not a martial art, by the way. That is not a legitimate sport. And I know Dana White is an investor in the slap fest and all of that stuff, and people watch it, but that, to me, that's a national embarrassment. Grown men slapping each other is not a martial art. It's not a sport. It's not a skill. It's not something people should be watching, especially other adults. I get if kids want to watch people smack each other, it's probably funny. To me, it just looks ridiculous. Anyway, people are distracted by sports. Just as dangerous as us being distracted by spending too much time defending the empire while our own nation falls. Dangerous to do at the same time. It's almost like you got to pick one. All right, are we going to be a global dollar empire, or are we going to be a nation that loves our, you know, our Friday night lights? We got to pick one. We can't do both, just like the Romans couldn't do both. And you see there in Europe, when what is left of the Westphalian culture, or the Roman civilization, the Roman Republic, you see it falling there in Europe now. And it would appear the only way they're gonna mosey on through is by uprising, mass uprising, which you're seeing there across Europe. And it's going to get ugly. And we all know that. We hope otherwise. Maybe they have some fair elections and secure elections, and they elect some real leaders that restore the national sovereignty like they did there in Poland. But I doubt it. My money's not on that outcome. Unless an American leader can be the rally point for all of Western society, can be an example, and we get our own border together. How do we get our own border together? We mass deport 25 million foreign invaders as an appetizer. Then, when everybody's back to their home country, we can enjoy the beauty and the art of professional sports and mixed martial arts as a global community, remotely, from your television. Watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, from the belly of the beast. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Ooh. Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery, not the century of lies, issues with no significance, and classism, and statism, and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure, something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Jones Show live here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday night. Historic UFC event. I believe it's already underway. Can't wait until we get out of here. I can go catch the last two fights, the headline fights of this card, which are sure to be very good fights in their own right. You got Cyril Gane, another Frenchman, I believe. Cyril Gane, we're talking about the Frenchman Wembanyama and the defeat of the San Antonio Spurs by the New York Knicks. Congratulations to them. Like I was saying before the break, I loved that the one of the smallest guys in the league, one of the smallest superstars in NBA history, heart-checked one of the biggest players in NBA history last night and over the course of that series. Just a testament to, you know, even when things are unequally distributed, such as size, you know, physical gifts, height, arm length, even when those things are unequally distributed, an individual can still muster up the discipline, the commitment, the courage, the mastery to overcome that unequal distribution of God-given gifts. And that's just an amazing thing in and of itself. It's like, why should a Jalen Brunson, who's all of 6 feet tall, be able to lead his team to a victory over a 7'4" supernatural? I mean, it almost looks, extraterrestrial. It's why they call Wimby the alien. He does look like an alien, and he plays like one too. And it's just a testament of American grit and culture, but even just more from an archetypical standpoint, that David versus Goliath story. And it's completely antithetical to the liberal mentality, the far left and socialist or communist egalitarian mentality that all things need to be made equal. No, sometimes you don't have glory when things are equal. Sometimes glory only comes from the unequal distribution of time or talent or circumstance or wealth or whatever the case may be. Sometimes that's what makes life worth living. It's like, what would sunshine be without the rain, right? Well, Jalen Brunson rained on Wimby's parade last night. Anyway, Wimby the Frenchman, the French alien. And if I had to guess, there was one nation of folks who were most likely extraterrestrials, it'd be the French, maybe the British. I don't know. It's a joke. Anyway, Cyril Gane, I believe. Due to headline tonight against Alex Pereira, you got a clash of two very high-level strikers. One, what do they call it? Savate? I think it's Savate. If I'm not mistaken, Cyril Gane is a Savate-based fighter. Savate is a form of French kickboxing, karate, form of French striking. Very interesting striking system too, Savate. If you know anything about it, And that's why Cyril Gane kind of has that perpetual motion. He's got that bounce. He's on his toes. He strikes and he moves. He doesn't guard like you would typically see a fighter guard. He kind of ducks out of the way and sort of runs away, because when you're in that savate stance and you strike from those areas, you typically put yourself in dangerous positions. And then you got Alex Pereira, who has that typical kickboxing Muay Thai style. You know, he's a Thai fighter from Brazil. And Brazil has done great to create their own sort of spin on both jiu-jitsu, which was initially a Japanese martial art, that the Gracies, one of them being Royce, you know, the way you say it in English is Royce, like myself, Royce Gracie, but Royce, and the Gracie family really took jiu-jitsu to the next level, which is why, you know, for the most part, jiu-jitsu is recognized internationally as Brazilian jiu-jitsu or BJJ. And the Brazilians have great Thai fighters, great strikers. Anderson Silva was one of them. And obviously great Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners. So you got an epic clash tonight in that fight. And then you got Topuria, who has taken the lightweight division by storm. I think he's the double champ in the lightweight and featherweight division. And, man, I mean, you talk about a guy who can move, who can hit, who can grapple. You know, he just does a little bit of everything, but he's tough as nails. He's got the look, right? He's, you know, he's got that Italian sort of pretty boy, you know, just sculpted look. And he's a killer. He's a straight up killer. And he's going against a genuine American badass in Justin Gaethje, who's tough as nails. You know, he's got that wrestling background, but he's had great striking coaches. Taken some severe knockouts in his career, but he loves it. You know, he's a true example of American grit, where it's like, all right, I'll take a hit, I'll get knocked out, I'll keep on coming. And he's weathered some lows in his career and some highs. He's been as high as you can get in some championship fights. I think he was even champ at one point in his division, and he's been brutally knocked out. You know, there's that epic moment between him and Max Holloway, where Max Holloway, Polynesian, I think Max is Polynesian, Max, you know, is another tough SOB himself. He tells Justin Gaethje, meet me right here in the center of the ring. And both of them could have just said, you know what, this fight's over, we're not going to risk it. But they're so tough, they said, all right, we're going to lock horns here in the middle of the octagon. And in a flurry of punches, Max Holloway turns Justin Gaethje's lights off. It's like, wow, another one of those epic mixed martial arts UFC moments in history that just sends chills down your spine if you're a fight fan. So you got a real epic clash of some great fighters tonight to commemorate our 250th anniversary there at the White House. And again, the liberals, you know, the Cory Bookers. So I kind of wish the United States Senate had guys who were young enough and it was a part of our culture. Not that you had to fight to kill each other, but if we had some genuine prize fights, I guess we wouldn't call them prize fights because I'm not suggesting people be paid for the outcome. Although it'd be kind of badass, like if your federal funding allocation was dependent on if your senator was the winner. If you had to fight for the funding, the federal funding for your respective play. Oh, you see people get in shape real quick, right? I mean, we'd be electing a whole different crop of folks if that's how we did things. We don't, and there's a lot to be said for that. But you know, even that, they're going to clip that and go, Royce wants the United States Senate to turn into a blood sport. It's like, yeah, well, guys, there's a reason why our country's so unmoored from reality, both in policy, but more so in culture. There's a reason why, because look at Cory Booker. I mean, look at him. Does Cory Booker strike you all as a serious man? He don't even strike me as a man. I don't even regard him as a man. He's a human being, but he's not a man. You know what I'm saying? And I just think there's something to be said for that across the entire Congress. And it's on the Republican side, too. It's not just Democrats. Let's be clear, right? It's not just Democrats. It's more all of them. I mean, they're in a handful of tough, sort of gritty alpha men in the entire U.S. Senate. Even the boys in the U.S. Senate, for sure. But even in the House, right? And there's a few scattered through there. Few of your boys who served in the military, but then you get the Dan Crenshaws who are like, you know, served in the Navy, but they still end up being milquetoast by the time it's all said and done. I don't know how that happens. It happens. You know, Eli Crane, I like. Eli Crane is a hitter. You know, I like Eli Crane, but few and far between is my point. Can you imagine if we had a Senate full of dudes who at least were tough enough to and young enough to still lock horns, even if it was just, you know, kind of, playfully, you know, even if every once in a while, instead of the 250th UFC event, what if the prelims was like, we're going to bring Cory Booker and Royce White out, you know, we're in two different weight classes, so that wouldn't be fair. But you get my point. You know, as a part of the prelims in the UFC 250 at the White House, we're bringing a few U.S. senators out. They're going to go three rounds for 3 minutes. It's not that long, guys. I mean, you know, you could survive it. You should be able to survive it. If you can't survive a nine-minute fight, you shouldn't be in the U.S. Senate, I think. But I know I'm crazy. Is that crazy? Maybe it's crazy, but I don't think it's that crazy. It's kind of crazy, but it's not that crazy. It's indicative. It's like if RFK Jr., if you give RFK Jr. six months of training, if I trained RFK Jr. for 6 months, he'd be able to survive and probably do some damage in a three-minute, three-round mixed martial arts fight. He's on a little old side himself, but you get my point. Look how fit he is. I mean, the guy's jacked, right? See, Joe Rogan. If you put Joe Rogan in there, I guarantee you, Joe Rogan's going to be able to do some damage. And there's a correlation. Not that I agree with everything Joe Rogan has said. I thought it was absolutely reprehensible that he brought James Tellerico, James, the fruitcake evangelist Tellerico. Okay, Joe, what are we, chopped liver over here on the Alex Jones Network, Joe? Huh? You don't want to sit down with the hatchet man? You don't want to sit down with the real hitters? Come on, man. Down there with the Satanist who's using the gospel. Yeah, and I just think to myself, what's even happened to America? How does this guy end up on this platform? And I'm not, you know, I can't tell him what to do with this platform or not. It's his platform, but I have every right to question it. And I just think to myself, like, Cake Satan is doing on the biggest platform in the world as if he's even legitimate, even remotely legitimate. He's not even a remotely legitimate voice, is my point. Joe Rogan could do some damage in a UFC fight. But really, what you would want to see is like James Fishback and James Tellerico. Is this his name, right? James Fishback. Is Fishback's first name James? Anyway, you guys know. I may be mistaken on the name. Fishback, I don't have any notes here. You know what I mean? Fishback is, you know, Fishback versus Tellerico. Prelims. 3 5-minute rounds. I'm sorry, I said 3 minute rounds. That's boxing. 3 5-minute rounds. Come on, man. That's America. I don't know. I'm crazy. They're going to clip this and say this guy, Royce White, is unelectable. He's unelectable. He's unelectable. He's took too many knocks in the head in training. No, I just think the U.S. Senate and the Congress are soft as hell. Untenably soft. And when you get soft as a culture, it starts to warp your sense of reality. And that's what we have. That's why a Cory Booker, who is a sitting United States senator, feels it appropriate to bring criticism to the president of the United States for having one of the flagship companies of a worldwide sport host at the White House when he would gladly bring a transgender strip show or story hour to the South Lawn in a heartbeat. His sense of reality is warped because he's soft. Because man was supposed to have to sweat by the toil of our brow. We were supposed to have to kill what we eat, or at least go get it from the wild. And when you take that away from a culture, man has to go out of his way to supplement that natural thing that we need. And that's what sports is. That's the rightful and proper place for sports. Is it does simulate the need for war. It takes competitive, it takes the competitive, the strategic, and the physical sacrifice. And it supplements the need for those things in war. We've lost that. We've lost that. And we try to, and so what we've replaced that with is fanaticism. And that's why you get these people out there who comment on professional sports. They don't know anything about it. They can't even... They alone be able to go on the treadmill for 90 minutes straight like the TIE fighters do. The TIE fighters, they jog for 10 miles straight. They had not even a second thought. They just jog. It's like the TIE guys, they just jog and jog and jog. They could jog forever. Their legs are strong. You know, you see some of these videos of this kid. I saw it the other day, this little Asian kid. I don't think he was in Thailand, but little Asian kid. And he's literally using this bamboo tree as a punching bag. And he's busting this bamboo tree up until it actually cracks and falls over. And there's something to be said for that culturally. And what do we have in America? In America, we have cigarettes and porn, food that kills you. Stephen Colbert, John Oliver, Conan O'Brien, Rachel Maddow, Joy Reid. It's like, excuse me, we're at a crossroads. We're at a fork in the road here, folks. What do we want America to be? Look at that beautiful image. Look at that image of that octagon outside the White House. That's a beautiful and historic image. You can have all the criticism of the president. You can have all the criticism, hey, this administration is not doing what it needs to do, and people are crying about affordability. Don't get me wrong. Affordability, is it matters. But again, like I said before, when you reduce the human existence down to price, it's a grave spiritual error, and you give an advantage to the Chinese and cultures that don't value the same things we value. We are a nation of ideas, of core values that are supernatural, eternal core values, powers and principalities, so we cannot base our society off of price. I know affordability is all, we are going to be in a tumult, okay? We are going to be going through a tumble of affordability and economic ebbs and flows for a long time to come, because you let the Federal Reserve crush the value of your dollar and your citizenship, and the games that have been played with corporations is ungodly, to say the very least. People are going to have problems. The economy is nothing you could do to the economy is going to have the immediate impact that you all want, because the hidden hand of the economy knows how to boomerang the deal, how to jigger the deal. So that ain't going to be easy. But what is good is to remain steadfast in honoring our nation and our history and our culture and our tradition, and celebrating it, and celebrating when America breaks through and we innovate. Like the UFC, what you're seeing right there with that cage, that steel octagon in front of the White House on our 250th anniversary, is a company. And again, I don't agree with everything Dana White and the UFC does, but I understand the cultural significance. You're looking at a company that has every incentive to remain neutral politically, and neutral is over on the left. And Dana White had the courage and the sacred honor to say, you know what, I'm going to honor my friendship with this individual, with this man, with President Donald J. Trump. I'm going to honor my individual friendship and rapport with him, regardless of the momentum of the public, of the mob. And you know what? There's nothing about the UFC that's equality of outcome, equity of outcome, egalitarian. There's nothing about the UFC that represents that. That's what you're looking at there. And you're looking at a company that also has innovated and stewarded an American company to be the flagship and tip of the spear of changing the entire sports landscape worldwide, one of the fastest growing sports in the entire world. And nobody would be able to claim, nobody in their right mind would make the claim that the UFC is not responsible for the rapid rise of mixed martial arts worldwide. And what a great thing for young men to aspire to. And I know you guys see the blood and the violence during these, you know, 20, 25 minute, 15 minute fights. But the discipline, the repetition, the grit, the toughness, the focus that went into these people even being able to be here is something young men and all people need more of. But let these globalists tell you, hey, we're going to give you universal basic income and some combination of drugs and video games. Let me tell you this, and it's cautionary tale. See, because there's also a subtle yet serious danger that's even there right now at the White House. Is what are we going to do about AI? Because in the future, AI is going to be so good, you could fight two guys and you won't need actual fighters. You won't need actual martial artists. They will have supplemented the entire thing out of our human society, and that will be a problem. That will be dangerous. And we better fight that with everything we have. And we need people, warriors like are going to tee off tonight, warriors like that and the spirit of warriors like that to fight the propensity toward artificial intelligence and what they call transhumanism. We're going to have to fight that. But for tonight, we get to celebrate that an American company is changing the landscape of sports worldwide. And these liberals don't like anything that we do. Nothing. Now, President Trump, he kills the trade deficit. We seal up the border that they intentionally left open. You know, the crime's down in multiple cities. Hell, there in D.C., you couldn't even have an event that brought people from all across the country because people getting carjacked and shot and stabbed all every day. Everybody who lived in the DMV or D.C. knows it. All my black friends that I know that came up in D.C. or are from D.C., D.C. was a hellhole. I mean, that entire DMV area, D.C., Baltimore, the whole thing. Dangerous. Seriously dangerous. Cleans up the crime. No credit. No thanks. No appreciation. No sign that if we give the government back to them, those things will stay in place and remain a priority. And least of all, this. You know, it's like, you guys don't like Dana White because he stuck by President Trump. Let's be honest. Same reason you don't like Joe Rogan because he took ivermectin. Joe, I'm looking to get on the show if you're out there listening. James Tellerico is a fruitcake evangelical Satanist, which is horrifying. The last thing this country needs. If Texas votes in James Tellerico, audit the machines, okay? Audit them. Number one, audit them. But you know what? I don't even say that because, again, I can't even believe that as many people voted for John Cornyn did vote for John Cornyn. That is a canary in the coal mine already. The fact that so many people even voted for John Cornyn scares me to death. But then again, our elections aren't secure, so I don't know who really voted for him and who didn't. Anyway, if Texas votes in James, if we lose, we've already lost New York City to a transgender jihad, Marxist and Mom Donnie. If we lose Texas to an evangelical Satanist, I mean, gosh, just pack it up. Pack it up. What do you want from me in Minnesota? I mean, what do you want from me? If New York, if the great city of New York is going to give the world's financial capital to a Marxist jihad transgender advocate and then an evangelical Satanist down in the Lone Star State, what do you want from us in Minnesota? Do I got to lead the whole thing? Come on, guys. What's going on? Anyway, we'll see. James Tellerico, evangelical fruitcake Satanist, using the cloth of Christ and the gospel to push demonic norms, demonic abortion, demonic cutting a boy's penis off, demonic letting in 20 million foreign invaders with no means or mechanism of control, demonic. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast. We're talking UFC 250 on our 250th anniversary. That and much more. Stay tuned.
I don't sell crap. Bovine colostrum. I'm going to get back to news. I didn't do any plug in the first hour. And Bigly, about a year ago, puts out a survey. A lot of you that are, if you're VIP, you get surveys. And once a month or something, they'll ask, hey, what are you wanting or what are you liking best or what products would you like? And that's smart to ask customers that, right? And you're kind and you tell us. And it came back, bovine colostrum was in the top two or three every time. And so was high-grade beef tallow, which we now have for you as you requested. And it's a great seller. Not rocket science to ask your customers what they want. That's the number one rule of sales. Well, have a great product and find out what your customer wants. You can say the customer's always right. I think there's something better, I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to argue with it. But that's an important rule of sale, but I don't think it's the most ethical point. I'll actually tell you what I think I need to know. So we got samples of it in before we even private labeled it from a top place to say, hey, you got to try this. Well, and now I'm taking it because I know how good it is. I'm like, okay, the survey wants bovine colostrum, the first milk of 2 weeks out of a mammal. I know it supercharges the immune system. I know it has all these immunity factors that goes in. It's like the natural vaccine. I know it's great. I know that going back to Germany hundreds of years ago in the UK and even out west here in the US, if they had a sickly kid or a preemie, they would give them the colostrum. They would call it the first milk of a donkey. It's like always in all the literature, like the medical doctors, like that. Oh my God, donkey. Donkey colostrum is like, whoa. Like that, donkey. And then horse is good. Goats are good, but it's always donkey's the best. It says, the first 2 weeks milk, the colostrum of a jenny. That's in medical books from Germany, the UK, the US. That's how powerful colostrum is. Well, we don't have big, creameries and dairies with a bunch of female donkeys, so you're going to have to settle with the cow. But it's good. And so they send in the canister of the company we're going to private label it from, and I'm like, okay. And so I throw it in the back of my car with some other stuff. And a couple days later, I go to have dinner at my parents. And I go, hey, my mom takes, I've seen her take colostrum and stuff. It was women like their hair and their nails and all that. I'll give her this. So I go in and give her a couple canisters of it and everything. And then about 2 months later, my mom is like, Alex, I want some more of that. That is incredible.
Several weeks later.
Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been, and I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker.
So now she gets it from us. She orders it from us. But that just gives you an example of I'm not selling crap, okay? I'm not going to sell you something that doesn't work. Now, with colostrum, it's going to take, you're going to feel it right away in a few days, but it's going to take months for you to see it with the skin and the hair and the nails and all that for it to really kick in. But I'm telling you, you are nuts if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get these right now. Just go get it. And then we can expand and have our legal battles and beat the New World Order, and you'll be as happy as a pig in poop. And there's a bunch of sales on all the best-selling products right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can't be bought. I am simply funded by you if you like the work we're doing.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Back to the Royce White Show. No, this is the Alex Jones Show. Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Sorry, the Royce White Show is on Saturdays. Real America's Voice. Shout out to the Alex Jones Network, the great Alex Jones, who was right yet again, vindicated. Vindicated, I thought, a few weeks back when President Trump had to have some very choice words with Bibi Netanyahu about his venture there in Lebanon, in the Middle East. And all of us here on the Just Right, they called us the woke right. It would appear we're just right. More and more we see we're just right. We're not the extreme right. We're not far right. We're not alt-right. We're just right. You got to be, we can't trust these guys. Apropos, we're talking about this UFC 250 freedom fight at the White House, and the liberals are losing their minds. Oh, this isn't the right time or place. This isn't a good event. This is disgraceful. Shut your mouth. You know what's a disgrace? Letting in 20 million foreign invaders. That's a damn disgrace. Full stop. That's the, we're not moving past it. This doesn't even, it ain't even on the Richter scale, okay? This is a drop in the ocean compared to the disgrace that the Democrats have done to this country with their uniparty collaborators for the last, I don't know, 60 years at least, if not further back than that. Don't tell us about this UFC fight being the sine qua non of Republicans disgracing the country. No, you let in 20 million foreign invaders. And you didn't even bat an eyelid. You let in 20 million foreign invaders. You're a disgrace. That's a disgrace. An African immigrant, a migrant there in Europe, in Belfast, trying to behead a man on the street. That's a disgrace. That's a disgrace. What happened to Henry Novak? That's a disgrace. And even this Carmelo Anthony deal, stabbing a kid in the chest, disgraceful, a lack of temperance. If the young man had come up in a martial way with a martial culture, first of all, he would have felt comfortable fighting versus needing a knife or a gun. But it's a lot of young black men all across America. I keep saying young black men would do very well to have more mixed martial arts training, whether it be boxing, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, karate, Muay Thai, MMA, whatever it would be. We would do well to infuse that in the black culture, young black men, because it teaches you temperance. Doesn't mean you don't have the capacity to do violence. Of course you do. But there are some ground rules, only when it's absolutely necessary. And this case with Carmelo Anthony and Austin Metcalf, it certainly wasn't absolutely necessary. Harsh penalty for a young man. Everybody's tough until those sentences come down. Then people's mamas and aunties and uncles want to cry. Oh, you're a gangster. Winces. Sometimes you get 35 years in prison. Sometimes you get shot in the head. It happens. It happens. People get shot and killed every day, especially in the neighborhood. I grew up there. It happens. But one thing you know for sure, if you play tough, you better be able to take tough consequences. The martial culture teaches people to be more temperate in their choices and their decisions and their propensity to violence, because violence has consequences. And when you train violence, you understand, you intimately understand the very real consequences of violence. Partly why I said that our Senate and our Congress have such trouble with rightly ordering their view of the world and reality, because they have no real intimate understanding or knowledge of the consequences of violence. It's all academic and esoteric for them. It's abstract. It's easy to hit a button. It's easy to send young men to do war, and then all of a sudden we're going to send young men to hit buttons, to send drones to do war and kill people. It's easy to do that. You don't feel any of the effects. You don't have that immediate, that visceral familiarity with violence and the consequences of what it feels like to get your head. Some of these people in the U.S., they've never got punched in the mouth. They've never took a punch behind the ear and the equilibrium immediately goes crazy. Some of these people have actually lived sedentary lifestyles where most of their philosophy about life comes from a book, or let's say a professor who very poorly interprets a book. And you know what? With all due respect, the same could be said for our Christian culture. It's funny, the correlation between the two. Even immediately as I was sitting there saying the way an honest mind works is I start to think about my own side of the aisle or my own community, and I go, hell, there's a lot of that to be said for the Christian community as well. We're learning most of what we do and it's not that there's a problem with the book. Mostly it's that the people who interpret the book for us have their own agenda. That's part of the thing, hence Christian Zionism. But, we'll save that for another day. We're celebrating the country today. The interpretation of the Catholic Church, too. Don't get me wrong. You guys know from the very first day I'm on a Catholic and Protestant schism. I get it. There's a little bit to be said for both. But the bottom line is this Christian Zionist thing is out of control. And the Catholic Church did an egregious and just almost irreparable damage with the pedophile scandal that took place throughout the church, throughout the world. So, you know, we're trying to claw our way back from that disgrace as well. But, you know, they have their own religion. They have their own priests. You know, the Noam Chomskys of the world, right? I mean, they have their own ideological worldview, and it's religious in nature. The thing that's odd to me is it's diametrically opposed to all their vices. Is there anything equal about sex? Is there anything equal about looks, about how people look? Is there anything equal about, the sound of one's voice? Is there anything equal about the circumstance which people are born into, the talent that they've been given? Is there anything equal about the greatest, artists, whether they be painters or sketch artists or tattoo artists? Is there anything equal about the greatest artists in the world and the ones who are further down the, down the rung? No, this whole idea of equality, was there anything equal about Abraham or Noah or David? I mean, Moses or David or Christ? Was there anything equal about the distribution of favor and divine calling? No. So this entire equality idea is out of control. And we have to deal with that first, because it's the predominant philosophy over on their side. That is their religion. They have a communist, globalist, secular, egalitarian philosophy. It's incompatible with logic. It's incompatible with human biology. It's incompatible with our love and fanaticism of sports. It's incompatible. Enjoy the fight tonight. But when you enjoy the fight, this great 250 UFC event, Freedom Event at the White House, when you enjoy the fight, recognize there's nothing about the equal distribution of talent, skill, or work ethic that went into what you're watching. Even from Dana White's perspective, even for him, as a guy who built the company, there's nothing equal about that. I couldn't imagine the things he had to go through to build that company. None of us could. One guy having to deal with all these type A alpha male killers, fighters like John Jones and Conor McGregor and, George St. Pierre, all these great, icons of the mixed martial arts and fight game, throughout the company's history. You can imagine what it's like having to deal with those guys in business, deal with those guys in real life on a day-to-day basis. And there's a lot of them. Look at Alex Pereira, another one, fast shooting up the charts on the all-time list. Scary dude. Got his own worldview, got his own culture, his own tradition. Scary dude. Would I fight him if I had to? You don't want to. You want to test yourself, but, if you could pick, you that's a tough day at the office. Cyril Gane's about to find out tonight. That boy hits hard. And I think on the opposite side of things, Alex Pereira is going to find out that Cyril Gane is a difficult target to pin down. Point being, you couldn't even enjoy the things that you actually enjoy if you lived by the leftist doctrine. Life would be bland. It would lack color. It would lack charisma. It would lack cool. It would, look at that. Look at what you're looking at there. Look at you got a steel octagon outside in a festival style in front of our nation's capital, in front of the White House. I mean, it's historic. It's cool. The left just wants to kill the cool in our culture. Great personalities, guys who can take a punch and give a punch, guys who have the audacity to build things like Elon Musk. As much as I disagree with his transhumanism, he's the first trillionaire in American history, in the world, first trillionaire, that we've had in known history. And they just want to rain on our parade. Then they act like we're the negative ones. I'm not a negative guy. I can tell you where the cracks and crevices are. I can tell you where the corruption is hidden easy, because it's not hard to see. Like when a Cory Booker marches a 250-pound man dressed like a space demon into my kid's kindergarten. Easy to call the balls and strikes on that one, guys. But, President Trump, the reason why he came on like wildfire is because he's got a fun personality. He can joke a little bit. He doesn't take himself too serious. He can take a joke. He can give a joke. I told Stephen A. Smith over last week, he said, you know, him and Stephen A. had a clash of comments in the public. And I told Stephen A., hey, you should be flattered. You've been looking for it. You've been asking for it. You've been calling his name, saying this stuff. And he's the type of guy that's going to give it back. And so what? Okay. Don't get all bent out of shape. And even if you do, the thing you learn about fighting is we could have a knockdown, drag-out fight. But we respect the fundamental principle of being a warrior and the warrior code. See, the problem when you make culture too esoteric, too abstract, too academic in nature, you lose that warrior code. And then you can't really come back to a common ground because one side of the thing gets so far out in the left field, which has happened in this country. We can no longer shake hands at the end of this. If you believe in letting 20 million foreign invaders into our country, I can't shake hands with you. Bottom line, if you condone letting 20 million foreign invaders into our country so that ours starts to look like Belfast or Great Britain or Italy or wherever else in Europe, if you condone that kind of thing, if you want that, I can't shake hands with you at the end of a great debate. Spit at your feet. You're a communist. You're a traitor. You're a subversive. Back when they used to argue about the tax rate, which is why you saw Reagan and I think it was Reagan and Mondale during their debate, they could throw light jabs at each other, and at the end they shake hands and go, all right, at the end of the day, this is America. This America is at a pivotal moment. And I hats off to the president. It's his 80th birthday today, and this event is to commemorate the nation and our 250th anniversary, but also celebrate that he's 80 years old and he's an American hero. He deserves our respect. He deserves our respect because he stood up when he could have stayed quiet. He stood up when everything would have been much easier for him to stay quiet. And if we don't hold that up as an ethic, as something that we revere, then I think we're just all just, when push comes to shove, we're a bunch of whiny little punks. Still disagree with them. There's no set of circumstances where I would say a war in Iran is more important than securing our elections or deporting 20 million foreign invaders or arresting people from the deep state. I'll never concede that. But I'm also not going to say President Trump is a lost cause and he's the worst person president in the history. And come on, stop it. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to get James Tallarico. And when you get a James Tallarico in the White House, and that's coming, as sure as the sun will rise, as sure as the turning of the earth, that day is coming where you get a Mom Donnie Tallarico presidential ticket and those two take the White House, you're going to see just how violent these egalitarians can really get. You're going to see just how violent the left really is. I see it. I feel it. I feel the propensity of twisted, sadistic, sinister, latent violence, psychotic violence. Because there's nothing more violent than taking a scalpel to a little boy's penis. In principle. Oh, well, at least I'm not a bigot. Yeah, sure. I don't even really recognize the word bigot because it's been so watered down. But what I do recognize is the word demonic. And you go to take a scalpel to a little boy's penis and castrate a young child in the name of gender fluidity. That's violent. that's very violent. So violent, in fact, when you think about it as a man, you clench. It's like taking a kick to the cup right here. You'll see, over the course of the evening, you'll see somebody get kicked in the cup and you right away, he's going, breath. It's a great moment where I forgot his name now because that's what happens in the Eternal House of History. You lose, people forget your name. Champions, they live forever. Alex Pereira, but he got kicked in the groin by his opponent and the ref, Herb Dean, came in like he was going to stop the fight. And Alex Pereira in real time, just mid kick to the groin, he stops him and he goes, I'm all right. And he brushes himself off and he gets back in his left hook, boom, knockout. I mean, just you're watching a badass, dangerous man tonight in Alex Pereira. Anyway, I'm doing my best to blend the event tonight and the politics because I do think there's an actual correlation between the lack of toughness the liberals' outcry that this event is somehow a disgrace to the nation, and the diametrical opposition between our sports culture and our sports, which we love so much, that between an NBA Finals, a World Cup, and now this UFC fight, you're going to have all eyes fixed on professional sports. But we hate the unequal distribution of talent or skill. Merit. We hate merit in this country now. And maybe more than anything, I think the reason the president has such an affinity, I can't speak for him, but you know, I speak for myself. The reason I have such an affinity for mixed martial arts or combat sports is because it's the ultimate arena of merit. One-on-one, mano-a-mano, you and another person. Who will prevail? Even team sports, you can kind of displace, you know, the responsibility onto some of your teammates. When you're in that octagon and that cage closes behind you, it's just you and him. And your weaknesses, mentally, physically, strategically, skill-wise, they all come to the surface. It's the ultimate test of human will, grit. Just sometimes it just comes down to grit and toughness. You're going to see a fighter in Gaethje tonight that's a tough SOB. And Ilya, he's a badass. I mean, he's tough as nails himself in the prime of his career. Justin Gaethje on the back end. But in mixed martial arts, it's funny how you don't see, you know, you still see guys that can compete at a high level, even though they're, you know, significant age gap in mixed martial arts, more so than in the NBA. In the NBA, you get I can't even say that, because, hell, LeBron James is putting up the same numbers now as he was in his prime. Sports is interesting that way. That happens few and far between, though, in the NBA. Mixed martial arts more often, right? That John Jones is going to just pick apart a young fighter. Because in fighting, the more you learn and the more you can still move around, the better you get. You just get more lethal. You get more, you know, unless the fight kind of drags on, then fatigue and age set in. So that all of that stuff is fun. But Justin Gaethje's still, you know, got some fight left in him. And we're going to see tonight, can he pull off one of the biggest upsets in sports? One of the young up-and-coming superstars of mixed martial arts, Ilya Topuria, versus an American badass, sort of your tough man, Justin Gaethje. Also fighting on the card, I forgot to mention, was Sean O'Malley. Very entertaining fighter. Do I agree with his politics? I don't know. Any guy who dyes his hair rainbow color, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about you, man. But badass fighter, though. I'm telling you, Sugar Shane O'Malley, very, very talented. And he's going up against a huge test tonight himself. So I don't have any predictions. I will say I think that the Cyril Gane and Alex Pereira fight is going to be much more interesting than people think. And with Justin Gaethje, you just never know, because he's got knockout power. I probably, and I hate to say this because I know Justin Gaethje personally, you know, I'm not going to put that out there. I hope Justin Gaethje wins. It'll be a huge win for America, for the red, white, and blue, because Justin Gaethje is, a country-loving patriot. But he's got a huge test in front of him. Ilya Topuria is a young bull. But we'll see what happens. The great thing is that, again, we're commemorating this nation's 250th anniversary with something that you know, has never happened. It's happening for the first time. And shout out to Dana White and the UFC and Joe Rogan. It's epic cage side commentary moments. And, you know, they've built the UFC into something that's quite incredible. Quite incredible. Literally changing the landscape of sports worldwide. And what's most, everybody can't play basketball. You can, but there are some physical limitations. You get a Jalen Brunson every once in a while. But for the most part, if you're under 6'3", 6'4", you're going to have trouble making it to the highest level. You know, everybody can't be an NFL football player, right? The gateway to entry physically for mixed martial arts is much, much lower. Now, you got to work twice as hard because there's such a bigger pool of people, population-wise, across the world that want to do that thing, but it can be done. You know? I mean, there must be, at least a billion men walking around that are, I don't know, what, 5'8", 145, 155 pounds, walking around at 170? I mean, it's attainable, right? And for young men to be to have their goals and ambitions aimed at a pursuit or endeavor like that is I think something that we need in this country and all around the world. Gives them something. And here's the thing about it that's even more significant. You can train it on your own. You don't need a team. You don't need equipment. You don't need some expert coach. Those things help. But you can literally train to be a martial artist all on your own. And that's a significant barrier. Like hockey, expensive as hell. Man, hockey's expensive to put your kid in. Volleyball's getting expensive. I don't know why volleyball's so expensive. Those damn pads, knee pads, can't cost that much. I don't know why volleyball's so expensive. I think they're just inflating the price, but that's me. But, you know, some of these youth sports are really expensive to put your kid in. You know, boxing, you know, karate, martial arts, a kid can train on their own. Now, every athlete needs a good teacher, a good coach, right? Daniel Sun and Mr. Miyagi. And the better coach and trainer or sensei you have, probably the better you'll be. But it can be done. And even getting involved in martial arts at a local level, going to a local boxing gym is usually much cheaper than a high-level summer AAU basketball team like mine. You know, so that's another thing. But again, what it really does is it tempers young men's capacity for violence. It doesn't eliminate it. It tempers it. It rightly orders it. It cultivates it. And we need, especially in the West, especially here in America, we would do well to have young men who have the capacity for violence in the wake of demonic forces, powers and principalities that seek to pin us down and behead us in the streets. It's my take on things. Anyway, it's been another Sunday Night Live. I appreciate the Alex Jones Network, everybody there in the studio. We went off script today because I'm just so pumped about this fight tonight. You got to see a genuine sports fan. I did my best to mix it into the issues of today, but I'm pumped about tonight. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to go home and see it, you know. Godspeed to all the men that are getting in the octagon. They all deserve our respect. It takes a huge amount of courage, more courage than it takes to tuck your penis and pretend to be a woman, okay? Huge respect and hats off to the fighters and warriors there in D.C. at our nation's capital tonight. Godspeed to all you all across the country. God bless you. We'll be live again tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central, the White House, Free People Radio across all social media channels. Appreciate your viewership and listenership again tonight and in the future. We'll see you next Sunday for the Alex Jones Network audience. And thank you to the great Alex Jones, another American hero. God bless you all. God bless America. 250 years, UFC, now.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch.
Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?